message. If you take your Bibles with me, I'd encourage you. I do put the scripture on the screen, but mostly that's for those who may be watching or those that don't have a Bible. But I'd encourage you to pick up a copy of the Word of God. We have them provided in the pew racks as well. And turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. They're right, actually. You were right, Kayla. We're going to start in chapter 1, I guess, with our theme verse. So you can go ahead and put that one back up. 1 Corinthians 3 will be the text, but we always like to read our theme verse, which is chapter 1 and verse number 18. 1 Corinthians, we'll look at chapter 3 this morning, but we'll begin with chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says this. Would you read this verse out loud with me together? Begin. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are... Say it once more, which are? Save. It is the power of God. Isn't it great to live in the power of God? And this series of messages through 1 Corinthians is all about being saved by the power of God. Saved, that Jesus makes a difference in our lives. And whether you have been saved for many, many years, or maybe you're a new Christian, or maybe you're someone who has not yet taken that step to accept Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're someone who never has been saved by the grace of God. What we want to do in this message series is show you the real difference that it makes to walk with Jesus and to walk in His salvation. And so I've enjoyed our time together as we've studied through this. But now we've worked our way through chapter 1 and chapter number 2, and now we come to chapter number 3. And I'd like to look at an opening text, which will be the first two verses. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 and verse 2. He says in verse number 1, and I, what's the word? Brethren. And I, brethren. So we know immediately that what group of people is he speaking to? He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to the brethren, a conversation for the church. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Now, those are going to be key words in this message. Look at that again. I could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual. He says, I wanted to speak to you as if you were spiritual people, but I could only speak to you as if you were what? Carnal. Even as unto babes, little babies in Christ. Verse number 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Let's pray together. Lord, I need your help as I explain the scriptures this morning. Lord, we each want to submit to your word. My thoughts and opinions are not of consequence this morning. It is only the faithful proclamation of the scriptures that matters. And so I pray that that would be done carefully. I pray that you'd guide my speech. And I pray that you'd guide the hearts of each person here and each person watching this, that we would listen and we would obey your word this morning. We need your presence. We need your grace. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. You see these first two verses, this idea that Paul says, I wanted to speak to you as if you were spiritual people, but I couldn't. I had to speak to you as if you were carnal. And he uses this description. He says, you received milk, like a little baby would hunger and desire milk. Is there anything wrong with milk? No, of course not. He says, I was able to give you the milk of the Word of God and the simple teachings of Christianity, but when it comes to things that are harder to chew on, things that are meat, a little more difficult to hear, he says, you weren't able to bear it. You couldn't handle it. So the emphasis here is that their growth in Christ had been stunted. They had stopped growing in their faith. And I'd like to speak to you this morning on just a simple topic today. How is your growing going? How is your growing going? Don't you believe that it's God's design for every Christian to grow a little bit closer to Him each and every day? There's an old chorus of the last century that was a popular song. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. But unfortunately for many of us, that's not the truth of our Christian experience. For a lot of us, our growth in Christ is a series of mountaintops and valley experiences. And we seek to be always on an upward climb and growing and maturing in the faith, but sometimes there are things that slow us down, things that we allow into our lives, thought processes and actions and activities, things that prevent us from growing in Christ. So it's a real simple question that we each need to ask, and the Corinthians were faced with this question: how is your growing going? Now, if you remember in these first two verses, as I already mentioned, the Corinthian believers, they embraced the milk of the message. What does this mean, this idea of milk and meat? Now, some people would say that it's the idea of things that are harder to understand versus things that are simple to understand. I'm not really sure that that's the idea here. I think the idea here is that there are certain things about the Christian message that are just very easy to receive. But there are other things that take some spiritual maturity for us to be able to handle them. For instance, it was very easy for the believers in Corinth to embrace the idea of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Do you remember when you first understood that God's love was for everyone? That God's love was for you, no matter how sinful you were, no matter how far away you were, that God loves you with an everlasting love, and He sent His Son Jesus to die and pay for your sin, and that there's not one thing that you could do to separate yourself from the love of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's easy to receive, and we embrace it early on in our faith. But what happened was the Corinthians, and I'm afraid many Christians today, they struggle to develop an appetite for the message that's harder to receive. If the easy message to receive is the idea of God's grace, His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, there are some harder topics for us as Christians. Things like surrender and sacrifice and sanctification. And that is where it all stopped for the Corinthian church. They knew they were saved. They knew that they were headed for heaven. But when it came time to build on that foundation and to surrender areas of their lives to the Lord, and to be more sanctified and to see God begin to change them, that's where everything stopped. And I've observed something in my own life and in the lives of fellow believers, and that is this. We all come to a point in our Christian life where we grow and we grow and we grow, and then God asks us to take a new step of faith. And at that moment, we have a decision to make. Will we be spiritual and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us through that? Or will we put up a halt sign to God and say, I've grown far enough? Does that happen in your life? It's happened at times in my life. So how is your growing going? I'd like us to just consider a few points as we look through the rest of chapter number 3 this morning. First of all, the Scriptures encourage us to grow spiritually. Could you say that with me this morning? How are we supposed to grow? We are to grow spiritually. And we already looked at the beginning of that. He says, I wanted to speak to you as if you were spiritual in verse number 1, but I couldn't because I had to speak to you as if you were carnal. Verse number 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now read the opening of verse number 3 with me. Begin. For ye are yet carnal. He says, we can leave this verse up. He says, you are still carnal. Now, it's important for us, if you're following along or taking notes this morning, it's really important for us to define these terms, isn't it? We shouldn't just take for granted that when I say spiritual, or when the Scripture says spiritual and carnal, that everyone listening this morning understands exactly what we're talking about. When we think about being a spiritual person, there's a lot of confusion in the world today surrounding spirituality. And a lot of times when people think of being spiritual, they really are talking about someone who's maybe in touch with their inner self. Or some kind of reliance on a higher power, or they think in different terms, and that's a very spiritual person. Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. I just want to make sure. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, a very spiritual person. But is that is that biblical spirituality? It's not actually that complicated. Biblical spirituality is literally this. To be spiritual means to be of the Spirit. Whose Spirit? My Spirit? No. God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit. A spiritual person, and people that go around claiming a false spirituality today, they're really in touch with whose Spirit? Often their own Spirit or another Spirit. But true biblical, true Christian spirituality is of the Spirit of God. Simply put, to be spiritual is in our thoughts, in our attitudes, and in our actions to be controlled by the Spirit of God. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of our flesh. We're challenged over and over and over again to allow our lives to be controlled by God's Word and His Spirit. So we're defining the term spiritual, and that means controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we need to define the term carnal. What does it mean to be carnal? Well, carnal is that word. The root of it is flesh. It's body. It's physical. So when we say spiritual, we're saying of the Spirit, but when we say carnal, we are saying of the body. Of the body. If spiritual is being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, carnal is being controlled by the passions and desires of my physical body. Now, can I ask you this? We know that the Spirit is good, right? What about the body? What about the body? Can the body be good? Actually, it can be. The Bible says that that God wants to save our whole spirit, soul, and body. And this is actually just something interesting this morning. The Bible, there are some false spiritual views that teach us that you have to deny the body. That the body is bad, the spirit is good. But the Bible is the opposite. The Bible actually says that what we need to do is not deny our body, but to yield our body to the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a big difference between that, because God has saved all of us. In fact, there are even physical pleasures in the Bible. Like, think about this. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink, do what? Do it how? For the glory of God. In other words, there are things that we can even do with not just our soul and spirit, but there are things that we are called to do with our bodies, like eating and drinking, that can be done for the glory of God. We're not called to take a vow of poverty and go live up in a monastery somewhere and all of that. True Christianity is a physical worship, even with our bodies and minds. But the problem is, when we become carnal, it's when the desires of our body take control of our lives. And that's why you see a world rampant with people who have good physical gifts from God that are abused in the flesh. We're told to eat and drink to the glory of God and to enjoy the bounty that He provides us. We'll do that soon at Thanksgiving. But yet some will even abuse the good gift of food and gluttony or drunkenness, right? Every good physical thing that God has given us, our bodies want to take possession of that and make it our God. The same that is true of the pleasures of food and drink, the same can be said of sexuality, that there's a God-glorifying way, but then there's a carnal way that it's exhibited in our lives. And the problem is this. We as Christians, are we carnal people or spiritual people? The truth is, as a believer, we are spiritual people who sometimes behave as if we are carnal. In fact, let me give you this other reference. If you can turn there or look at it on the screen, but I'd like to give you just a quick reference from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 in verses 5 through 9, the Bible says this, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now look at the end here. But ye are what? Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. This is a clear teaching elsewhere where Paul says, if you know Christ as your Savior, you are not a flesh person, you are a what person? You're a spirit person. You're spiritual. If you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So there in the book of Romans, he clearly says, if you are a Christian, you are a spiritual person. But the problem, and you see this actually as a principle throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul, the problem is this. The truth of what we are in Christ may be spiritual, but our behaviors and actions are sometimes reverting back to the carnal mindset. And so it's a shame that, listen, for the unbeliever behaves exactly as an unbeliever should behave. But a Christian, we as Christians, we have the opportunity, the ability to walk in the Spirit, yet sometimes we choose to walk in the flesh. And if we're going to grow, we've got to learn to grow spiritually. We were there in 1 Corinthians 3, and you saw verse number 3. Let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 3. For ye are yet carnal. And there's some evidences. There are multiple evidences of it. But in this church, they're controlled by their own desires, their own ambitions, their own pride. It says that, what's the example of their carnal, their physical living instead of spiritual living? It says, for whereas there is among you, what are the what's going on? Envying, strife, divisions. Are ye not carnal? And look at this. And walk as men. Now that's a key statement right there. Walk as men. Again, to emphasize that point, this is not who you are. You are saved. You are a child of God. But you're walking as if you are someone who's not. Verse 4, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? They have stunted spiritual growth. They're unable to maintain unity one with another. And they're behaving just as if they were not a Christian. So the question for us as we think, first of all, that we need to grow spiritually, the question for us is this, are your actions, are my actions more resembling to the world around us than the Christ within us? As we take stock of our lives, the thoughts that we have, the places we go, the actions we take, are they more in line with the carnal mindset, or are they more in line with the Spirit as revealed to us in the Word of God? It's time for the Corinthian church, and it's time for us each to grow up and move on from the simple milk of the Word to things that are more difficult. But it's only going to happen if we're willing to walk with a spiritual mindset. You need to grow spiritually. But thankfully, he gives us more explanation on how to do this. Because we move on to the next point. Not only do we grow spiritually, but we grow with humility. We grow with humility. Look at verse number 5. Grow with humility. Verse number 5, he says this. Remember, they have division. One said, I'm of Paul. The other, I'm of Apollos. You know, I'm in the, I believe better than you. I have a better leader than you do. All of this kind of talk. And then Paul just brings it all down to earth. And he says in verse number 5, who then is Paul? Why are you worried about who I am? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. So just to give you a little context, because you may not understand this discussion, the point is this. There are different preachers and teachers who had come through their church. And some people were thinking, well, I came to know Christ when Paul was preaching. And other people said, oh, well, I follow Apollos. He is much more gifted than Paul. And they were arguing about this. What's the idea? You're not going to grow so long as your focus is on people. You're not going to grow so long as your focus is on human leaders. We only grow when we have a more humble view. In fact, the greatest prophet of all time, Jesus said, was John the Baptist. Jesus, you can look it up. Jesus said, there's never been a prophet like John the Baptist. And you know what John the Baptist said? He said, speaking of Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. He must increase. And listen, in a church, in a home, in our lives, it has to be Jesus increasing. A church can't be about a pastor getting influence and popularity and all of that. It has to be about the leadership of the church getting low and magnifying Jesus. But it's the same in your home. It's not about a father and a husband being the I need to be treated as the supreme leader of this home. No, as true servants, we get low so Jesus can get high and lifted up. Or a mother with their children. And no matter, and you can play it out, a boss at work. In any scenario, as God's given us this ability of leadership and influence, it's not about us to be lifted up on a pedestal. It's about us to get low as servants so that Jesus can be the high and holy one. Grow with humility. You see, in verse 5 there, he says, who are Paul? Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? How does he describe them as what? He says, who are they? They are what? Ministers. That means servants. They're servants. You see, in the kingdom of God, in the household of faith, there's only one master. The rest of us are servants. The Bible says, by love, serve one another. There's only one master in the household of faith. The rest of us are servants. Verse number 6, he keeps talking about this idea of humility. He says in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but who? God gave the increase. Progress is impossible. You say, yes, I want to grow in my faith. Progress is impossible without God's empowering. Grow with humility. Verse number seven. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. I like that construction there. Verse number six, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. For we are laborers together with God. You see, our service to God is a privilege. Do you believe that? That we are called to serve God and love God, but that service is a privilege, not a duty. Now, it gets a little tricky there, I understand that. We do have a sense of obligation, I understand, but there's a problem that I've observed in the life of Christians. You see, right here it says we are laborers together with God. There are some Christians that think, God, I am serving you. Oh, I'm growing. I go to church as many times as I can. I read my Bible. I volunteer. I give. I do all of these things. God, you must surely now be impressed with me. It happens sometimes in our lives. Because sometimes what we do is we compare ourselves to other Christians. And how involved is this person? And how involved is that person? And we begin to get this attitude that, well, our service might entitle us to some special status or allowance with God. And he says, no, it's a privilege that we are laborers together with God. Grow with humility. Grow with humility. So we see, first of all, that we have to grow spiritually. We have to grow with humility. But now let's look at verses 10 and following, and we'll see that we have to grow purposely. We have to grow purposely. Verse number 10, the Bible says this, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. You see the illustration Paul's setting up here? He's showing us a construction project. How many of you have been involved in a construction project before? One or two, yeah. And Paul says, God called me to be the master builder. Why? Because he was an apostle. He says, what happened was, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man, what? Take heed. Be careful how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, get this. Buildings are constructed on purpose. Right? That's another one of those brilliant sayings that you can write down from the sermon today. Buildings are constructed on purpose. You never see a pile of bricks just assemble themselves, right? You never see that happen. Although you watch those, have you seen those time-lapse videos? I love those things. And I saw there was a major hospital in China that was built in like weeks, and they have a whole time-lapse of the whole thing being constructed. But the truth is this, that no buildings are built by accident. They are all built intentionally with a plan and by active builders. It's the same way in our Christian growth. We don't grow in Christ by accident. It has to be purposeful. We have to grow spiritually and with humility, but it must be purposeful. It doesn't just happen spontaneously. And he says here, first of all, he says, you've got to make sure you're building on the right foundation. He says, I've laid the foundation. What is the foundation of our Christian growth? It's Christ. It's Jesus. He says, Paul says, I laid the foundation. I brought you to faith in Jesus Christ. I revealed him to you. Now, every step you take, every block you build on your life, every step of growth you move into, make sure you're growing on the foundation and building on the foundation of Christ. Do we sometimes build on other foundations? Does it happen? Sometimes we know that our Christian life is designed to, that we've got the solid rock. We know we're saved. We know we've got Jesus. But then we start to kind of step over here. And over here we say, you know what? But I've also got this other area of my life. I think I'm going to put some attention here. When we do that, we build on the wrong foundation. We have to be purposeful and evaluate our decisions. Make sure you're building on the right foundation. The foundation of Christ and His Word. And then importantly, the most important aspect of our purposeful growing is this. Make sure you're ready for Judgment Day. Make sure you're ready for Judgment Day. Look at the next verse. I'm in verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. If you're going to build a building, you'd want to make sure you use the right building materials, correct? If we want to grow, we need to make sure the right principles are at play in our lives. He says this, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? He's talking about Judgment Day. Judgment Day. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The point here is, friends, we've got to remember that there is a day coming. There is a day coming when this life will be over and you and I as Christians will stand before God. We'll stand before Him. And everything we've built and everything we've lived for will pass before His judgment seat. And it's not a judgment seat that determines will I go to heaven or will I go to hell. No, it's a judgment seat only for believers. And at that judgment seat, we will have to give account for the things that we've done in our bodies. Are you living for that day? I'm afraid we live for much lesser days. We plan for a lot of things. In fact, a lot of plans have been totally thrown off this year, right? For me, I gotta tell you what, it seems like I just am supposed to just stay home, I think. We went to Switzerland, got shut down for COVID, had to come back. I was supposed to go stay with a friend for a couple nights in Maine last weekend. Up, got a quarantine for 4 days. Plans are getting disrupted. But we plan for things, don't we? We plan for vacation days. We plan for retirement. We plan for trips that we want to take. We do a lot of planning. How much time do we spend planning for Judgment Day? When every human experience will not compare to the day we stand before God. We've got to grow purposely. Make sure you're ready. And then finally this morning, in the last verses of this chapter, the Bible teaches us that we need to grow in holiness. We need to grow in holiness. He says in verse 16, and now this is where there's some really powerful truth here. Verse number 16, know ye not? He says, do you not realize, are you not aware that ye are what? What are you? A temple. A temple of God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You are the temple, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, this is interesting. If you study this context here, the idea is this. He's speaking to the church corporately, and he's going to address some things that are going on in their church. But he says, you as a church corporately are the temple of God. Now, if you fast forward, we won't do this, but if you fast forward to chapter number 6, he's going to also tell us that we individually are the temple of God. But what he's teaching here, and we're going to see it in chapter 4 and chapter 5, is this: church, assembling of believers, you all, as you come together, you are, do you realize that you are the temple of God? Your lifestyle matters. Your testimony matters. What the world sees in the corporate body of believers matters. And we are called not just to be a gathering. We are not a gathering like the Elks Club or the Lodge. We are not a gathering like this isn't book club, right? This isn't Rod and Gun. You know, this isn't any of those things. This is a called out assembly. This is a holy gathering. By the way, that's why actual church membership is so important. Because as you join with the body of Christ, you join with the physical representation of the temple of God among men. When you say, I am a member of Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or if you're a guest here, whatever church you belong to, when you say, I am a member of this church, you are saying, I am a member of a holy body, a temple of God, both in my private life as the temple of the Holy Spirit and in my public assembling, the church, the temple of God. And he says, don't forget that. There's a reason that you've got to grow. And it's not just about you. You say, yeah, if you start and said, yeah, I want to grow, I want to be a better Christian, we've got to remember, it's not about us. It's about our growth being a reflection of His glory and His holiness. We don't exist as a church for primarily our own benefit, though we receive benefit. We exist for the glory of a great God. He says in verse number 17, if any man defile the temple, this is a strong verse. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. It's a dangerous thing to be the temple of God and to then in our actions defile that temple. This is why Paul's saying you're struggling to receive some of the harder things in the Word of God. He says, if a man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is what? Holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, look with me at verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are what? Yours. In other words, God has given you everything you could ever need. And then look at verse number 23. And ye are whose? Christ's. And Christ is God's. Why is it so important that we grow, particularly in holiness? Because we belong to Christ. We belong to Him. Just as a husband and a wife belong to each other, the church is referred to as the holy bride of Christ. Now, that wonderful relationship comes with a set of expectations. For instance, what do you think about this? Because some people say, oh, you preach on holiness and sanctification, you teach all that. Aren't you being legalistic? It's no more legalistic than to say a husband should be faithful to his wife. Are you with me there? Okay, this is where we're going to bring it home right now. No one says, as you enter into a marriage relationship, you enter into a marriage relationship, a wonderful, wonderful relationship. Nobody says, well, are you going to have one of those real legalistic marriages? You know, one where you just kind of stay to each other? That would be absurd. Although in our culture, it's getting less and less absurd. Sorry. But still, at least we still have that. We still, for the most part, have that. Where somebody would say, you want to be married? Yeah, I'd love to be married. Well, there's a set of expectations. It's not a drudgery. It's not a duty, per se. It's the expectation of the relationship to say, I love my wife so much that I will be dedicated to her. And then she in love reciprocates that to me. But do you understand that is exactly what Christ did for the church? He said, I love you. Listen now. He said, I love you so much. I will give everything for you. I love the traditional marriage vows. I know they're not real popular anymore, but I love that just stick with me. There's some reasons for some tradition sometimes. And forsaking all others, and keep thee how? Only to thyself. Jesus forsook all the glory of heaven. Jesus forsook all the rights of his authority and power to purchase with his blood you and me. He left the throne of heaven to give it all for us so that we could be his. And what does he ask of us? He says, I want to be yours. I've purchased you to be mine, and I want to be yours. Are you growing in holiness? Are you growing? Or are there areas of your life where you said, Jesus, you can't have that? You know, when we say, Jesus, you can't have that, sometimes we're saying, Jesus, you don't deserve that. We are Christ's. We belong to Him. And that's the supreme part, the supreme aspect of our Christian growth is realizing more and more that we belong to Christ. So I just have to ask you as we finish, if you're a Christian, how is your growing going? How is your growing going? What area of your life do you need to surrender? And I believe that the Holy Spirit right now is speaking to each of us and saying, yes, in your life, this is an area you need to give over to me. What do you need to surrender? And then I just ask this question. Maybe this is not true of your life. Maybe you don't belong to Christ. You say, what do I mean? We only belong to Christ because we are born into His family, because we're born again, because we're saved. The wonderful relationship that Christ calls us to can only be received by faith whether you're in this room this morning, you're watching on the video, has there ever been a time in your life where you have said yes to Jesus, where you've admitted your sin, and you've asked Jesus to be your Savior? Because that's where all growth begins. It begins with a true and personal relationship with Jesus. Could we all just bow our heads and close our eyes as we come to a time of prayer? This is the time, and our musicians will set up, and we'll have a song in just a moment. But this is what we call the invitation. In other words, we are being invited. We're being invited to respond to the word that we just heard. And so it's a time of prayer. It's a time of reflection. It's not just the end. It's not just the closing. It's the time for us to worship God by yielding our lives to Him. So, Christian, has God spoken to your heart? Is there an area of your life that you need to grow in that you've said no to Him? Would you surrender that to Him this morning? Would you surrender that to Him? And then for those that have never trusted Christ as their Savior, listen, the most important decision you can ever make is to respond to the call of Jesus when He says, I love you, I died and rose again for you, and if you will call upon me, I will save you. You simply need to admit that you're a sinner. You need to believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again. And if you'll call upon Him, if you'll confess Him as your Savior, the Bible says you will be saved. You say, Ethan, how do I do that? You can do it with a simple prayer. You can say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe you died for me and rose again, and I ask you to save me. Would you do that right now? In this moment, would you ask Christ to be your Savior? Now, Christian, as the piano plays, as the instruments play, would you surrender that area of your life that God has spoken to your heart about? Thank you so much for the time we've shared together this morning. We thank you for your word. And I pray that we would not leave the same as we came, but like the Corinthians who heard that message and allowed it to change their lives, I pray that we would allow your word to change our lives. Lord, I pray for any that may not have trusted you as Savior yet, I pray that they'd make that decision. I pray that they'd embrace you as their Lord and Master. Please bless this concluding hymn. May we sing out of hearts that truly belong to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.